This is OTB AM.
Let's tell you something about Nathan now. I think he said the other night, I was listening to his commentary, actually, I got the first half of his commentary the other night. Great reader of a stat, he's just not a great reader of the game. And that's not something that I thought about. I was thinking it when I was driving. I was thinking, he's a great man for a stat, but, oh, come on.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunluey.net.
Well, Brian, it finished scoreless at Elland Road. I think on the balance of play, it probably was a fair result, but a more disappointing result for Manchester United, because they were hoping to keep up a little bit of pressure on Manchester City now. But as it stands, 5 games left to go and City only need 2 more victories to seal the Premier League title.
Yeah, they have some difficult games there, but you would think that's well within their grasp. I think anyone hoping that Manchester United could pull it back, they needed them to win today. No doubt about that. The lead, as you say, is 10 points now, 5 games to go. They're not going to, City are not going to let that slip. I think they'll coast home now. But from Manchester United's point of view, I think their focus has to be on their own games. Obviously, the Liverpool match in between is very important because of traditional rivalries. But not in terms of league position. From Liverpool's point of view, it would be more important because they're obviously still chasing the fourth place, and they've had a couple of disappointing results this week, getting pulled back by Leeds and getting pulled back, of course, yesterday later on again as well. So I think from Manchester United's point of view, today's result would be frustrating for them, but they didn't really earn a win. I thought Leeds did enough to deserve a draw.
What do you think went wrong for Manchester United today? And with a view on that Roma game, what does the team need to do better?
Well, I think you have to hand a lot of credit to Leeds today. They defended very well, as they do. Their system is often one-on-one marking in defensive end of the pitch. Manchester United found it hard to break away from the shackles of the Leeds defenders, to get themselves into good, reasonable shooting positions. They were shooting from long range, getting blocked away. The physicality of Leeds as well, I thought, had an issue. I thought Manchester United were a little bit lightweight looking in the forward positions. When you look at the combination of the four players, Greenwood's still a young boy playing through the middle, centre position, Rashford and James, wide positions. None of those three, nor Bruno Fernandes, are particularly big or strong physically. So I felt that, but that their passing didn't always come together. But I put it down to Leeds, and maybe a little bit of, maybe Rashford's not fully right at the moment. He's been carrying a bit of an injury. He went off again today. He's gone off in several games lately. And the issue, I think the Roma match is big for them, so it could have been on the minds of some of the players as well. The fact that it didn't start with Paul Pogba would indicate they were keeping him for the match during the week as well, and Cavani too. So, you know, obviously the likes of Martial is not in the picture. But otherwise, there was a lot of good stuff about United. They gave away very little chances today, and they dominated possession. They didn't get ruffled by the counter-attacks of Leeds. And the goalkeeper, Henderson, had a steady game, didn't have many saves to make. It wasn't a bad performance for Manchester United, but they just didn't find the breakthrough. It was a bit of a patchy game, I would have thought, at times, really.
Just one goal and one assist in the last 8 matches now in the Premier League for Bruno Fernandes. When you look at his performances over that stretch of games, is there anything you can kind of see which would lead you to point out what is actually going wrong for him at the moment? Because they need a big performance from him if they're going to knock Rome out of the Europa League.
Well, you have a player here who's come into Manchester United and had an incredible impact. From the time he came in in the winter window, more or less, and he had a massive impact, and he's continued that this season. He's on 16 goals, playing the number 10 position off the front. So many goals and assists, as they call them now, making a few goals for other fellas too. But he's also an ever-present as regards the number of games he's played. And he's gone from one Manchester United game to another every game. He looks like he gets upset if he gets left out of the Europa League game in midweek. and then he goes out and plays the international team for Portugal. So if you were pointing to something, I'd say, how high are his energy levels? Does he need to be managed a little bit, excuse me, his time on the pitch managed a little bit better? I mean, obviously Manchester United sport, strength and condition and sports science and background, they know what they're doing, but that's all I can put it down to. And of course the opposition been more intent on in clamping down on his influence in games, and the longer he plays in the league, the more they know about him, but equally he knows how he can, how efficient he can be against different opposition. But he's certainly finding it a bit harder at the moment, but that's no surprise. He's been a great player, and if he can influence Manchester United for the rest of this season, they've got up from third last year to second this season, Europa League semi-final. Can they win this competition? Can he guide them to win the competition? Let's wait and see. But he's been a great player for them. I think this is just temporary.
And just going through to finish off just on United and their match against Roma on Thursday night. They are, of course, at home for the first leg. When you go through the two squads, Roma and United, man for man, you'd have to say United do have a better squad. Obviously, they've got the danger man up front, Edin Dzeko, who will have to be marshalled very tightly on Thursday night. But when you think of, as you mentioned, Pogba and Cavani, we would expect them to start a big game like this. Just that experience they have of playing at the top level in European football. Obviously, Pogba would have played for Juventus as well as Manchester United. And Cavani as well has been just a brilliant striker across the years, coming into the latter stage of his career now. But do you think they could be the two players that make a big difference on Thursday night?
Well, Roma are not having a great season. No. by their standards. They're around the 6th, 7th position with Napoli, I think, just ahead of them in the league. You know, previous recent seasons, they've been up in the top four. And they're a bit off it, still relying, as you said, on Dzeko to score the goals. The key players, Fernandes, Pogba, I would think that's fair to say. Pogba had a big influence against Milan when they need him. He come on the match and scored a goal when they need the goal, and he's been I think but I wouldn't underestimate the quality of Rashford and the importance of Rashford and Mason Greenwood if they play in the game. Equally in the middle pitch area, McTominay's got to be solid. They've got to have possession. They've got to, like, I think they need to go to Roma with a bit of a lead, but they've shown already they don't always have to have a lead, because they'd won 1-1 with Milan at home, and then they went over to Milan, won the second leg, 1-0. So, you know, maybe the home advantage and win the home game is not such a priority, but I just think that get most of the business done in the first leg, try and win that game, and then give themselves a situation where they're playing the game with Liverpool in good form next Sunday afternoon, and then do the stuff in the second leg. But it won't be easy. I mean, we've seen Sevilla beat Manchester United last year, the one-off match in the semi-final. They were favourites, would have said the same thing. Better players, look at our squad, all that. Roma would be no mugs. They've plenty of defensive quality and experience in their team, and they will make it very awkward for Manchester United. They won't lie down by any means. Big chance for them. They've been in very few European finals themselves, and a big chance for them to get a trophy too.
Personally, I'm raging. Nicolò Zaniolo is out for Roma. He's such a brilliant player, but still that crucial injury. Just briefly on Leeds United, Brian, if they finish top half this season, which it's looking like they will, that's a brilliant finish for a team coming straight up from the Championship. But we did look to their squad before this game, and I know you think they're lacking a bit of quality in that team, especially when it comes to passing the ball. Now, we've seen with the likes of Sheffield United coming up for a season, doing really well, and then crashing out in the following season. And you kind of look at the signings they made, perhaps not as astute as we've seen some other clubs with their signing. Leeds will be on a tight budget as well for next season. So do you think it is crucial, the kind of business that Bielsa, if he sticks around, the kind of business he does for the summer to try and keep them up for that second season?
Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, in general, the signings they have made and the players have signed have done well for them. They're missing, Rodrigo today. I think it'll be very important for them. Costa is one they've had now for a couple of years, and they got him at Wolves. He plays a good part. The concern is probably who's going to score the goals. They're in a good position. The goals come from lots of people. But Bamford's on 14. Dallas the second highest scorer. And we kind of think of him as a defensive player. More attacking player for now. Got two great goals against Manchester City. They probably need more support for Bamford, that there's not that. Harrison will be next one. Will he be able to hold on to Harrison? What's going to happen with him? He's a Manchester City player, as I understand it. I think Bamford's a big one. They want to hold on to Bamford. And to be honest, I don't see any clubs of a much higher profile than Leeds United wanting to take Bamford. He knows the reputation of the club and the history. When people get back into the ground, what a magnificent support they have and what an atmosphere there is on Elland Road. So it's they've an attractive combination of history, Leeds, of a stadium, and I've got a manager with such a high reputation of Bielsa, who knows the market, knows the marketplace, and has been able to attract good players. You mentioned Llorente during the commentary as well, and his history. Very good player, very good signing as well. So, you know, they've spent some money, they've paid out some significant fees around the 20 million mark. They'll need to go to that market again and make them right. But, you know, only he would have had the confidence and courage to put the young goalkeeper in, Melia, who was playing very well for them. Another manager from the club would have signed, like Sheffield United signed Ramsdale, and to replace a good goalkeeper like Henderson. Henderson goes back to Manchester United. So he knows the market, and I would trust in Leeds that they seem to be a fairly well-run club now, and they know what they're doing. They might have a bit to do to persuade Bielsa to stay on again and give another go. But I'm sure he's enjoyed their progress this year, how stable they've been, the style of football. I think he would have loved to see crowds on the ground, and Leeds supporters, I'm sure, can't wait to get back in to show their team the affection they have for them and how much they've enjoyed watching them, even if it's been from the couch.
Absolutely. To finish, Brian, just there was an announcement made across English football late last night, and it's going to take in all the leagues and every division and flight and the women's game as well. And this is the social media boycott that's going to come into effect across the weekend from Friday to Monday. Everybody's going to shut down their social media channels, from clubs to players to certain members of the media as well. This morning we saw on Sky Sports one of your former players, Clinton Morrison, speaking about the whole issue of racism in football, and which has been rearing its ugly head on too many occasions over the last number of years, and especially via social media. And Clinton made the point, which was made by a few people during the week, that if there was as much effort put into the fight against racism that there was against the Super League this week, that it's an issue we might have handled much better up until now. So I'm just interested, because you've been involved with Sarri here in Ireland, what your own thoughts were on it across the week.
Well, I heard what Clinton has said, and other black players, and I think Patrick Bamford made that point after his match last week, Leeds game. He made that very point on match on Monday night after the draw with Liverpool. And it's a really interesting point. But what I'd like to say on it is that I think sport is trying to do its bit on something that society needs to fix. We, you know, at least sport is shown signs of activity and has shown signs of concern for many years. Not enough, and I've said this frequently before, I've always felt that the administrators of our game, particularly UEFA, but many of the individual associations that are part of UEFA and FIFA, they need to be much stronger in dealing with instances of racism, both on the pitch and around the grounds. I mean, around the grounds now, when fans are in the grounds, it's become much more of an issue in terms of clubs trying to deal with supporters shouting racist comments at players. But that was let go by for years and years without comment. And it's only in the past couple of seasons that's become a major issue about the behaviour of players or people off the pitch. It became to the fore, I think, the English match in particular when they played Bulgaria in the away game. I don't know why it took so long, but I think that the problem is just should be of as much concern in general society by governments around the world. And if governments around the world decided to act and implemented proper laws, laws and law making in relation to the treatment of citizens, in relation to the treatment, the everyday attitudes towards people who maybe are people of colour or people who are slightly different in any way, well then And then we'd be seen to be doing something about it, rather than leaving it to sport to be the vehicle for the changes in society and the changes in sport that should be there. I mean, it's disgusting. I've said this before. Racism is disgusting in society. Racism is disgusting in sport. And yes, everybody should have done a lot more about it. UEFA, the clubs, the leagues, and individuals, players of all nationalities and creeds, and black or white or whatever, should all have been much more, much stronger in speaking out and calling out attitudes in the past and now in the present, and maybe we'll be able to change things in the world, but it's a long, long way to go.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks, Stephen.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.